Welcome, everybody, to part one of a series that we're entitling Face to Face. And real excited about this month as we just set aside a time really to go after God. I know we're after God every day, but you know, sometimes, and especially during the summer, we fall into this what we call summer slump. And a lot of us take vacations. I just got back from one. It was great. But there are some of us that actually take spiritual vacations, and we kind of just get bogged down into the just the activities of life, and we need a renewal. And in fact, as we are approaching fall, I know we're in the middle of summer, but the next season is fall, and we're actually going to be launching a lot of things in the fall. And as we launch those things, and see, I believe fall is a time of harvest. But in order for us to reap a harvest, we got to sow some good seeds, and we need to cover everything and water everything with prayer. And so we're looking forward to just a wonderful time together of seeking God in the next 21 days, which actually starts tomorrow morning. I'm going to just reiterate that you just saw there on the announcements, but on the announcement video. But this coming 3 weeks, 21 days, if you haven't ever been a part of this, I just want to strongly encourage you to join with us. We're going to meet here at Cross Point every morning from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. It'll start 7 o'clock sharp. It'll end at 8 o'clock sharp, because I know you got places to go, and we're going to respect your time. And so I just want to encourage you to be a part of that. It's worth getting up for. All right? And by the way, we're going to be joining thousands of other people and other churches as well that will be setting the same time aside to seek the Lord together. We're going to be live streaming with Church of the Highlands from Birmingham, Alabama. That's going to take place here. So you're going to see. Now, here's what you're going to see. When you come at 7 o'clock and you're going to think, well, this is awful early. Why did I do this? You're going to look up here on the screen and you're going to see thousands of people that are meeting at 6 o'clock. And then you'll feel a lot better, right? Okay. So if you think, well, how, and that will encourage you. That will encourage you. And I, again, those that came, we actually did this at the beginning of the year, and those that came at the beginning of the year, we did 21 days in January, and we're doing it again in August. But those that came in January know it makes a huge difference, doesn't it? And just to seek God and just to have that wonderful time of renewal. So I want to encourage you in that. And on the last day, on August the 23rd, that Saturday, we're actually going to have a prayer breakfast. Now, Monday through Friday, it will be 7 to 8. On Saturdays, it will actually be at 10 o'clock, and then our prayer each Saturday. And then that last Saturday, on the 23rd at 9:30, we were going to have a prayer breakfast together. Just a wonderful time as we seek the Lord. Now, I know in January, we call it prayer and fasting. Now, if you want this in August, if you desire, you can do prayer and feasting if you like, okay? And if the Lord lays it on your heart to fast, then you obey the Lord. But we just want to set aside a time of praying and seeking the Lord together. And this month also is a five-Sunday month. And the last Sunday, the 31st, we're actually going to have a wonderful encounter service. As we're encountering the presence of the Lord, we're going to have a wonderful encounter service. It's just going to be more music and time of just of communion and allowing you just to press in and encounter the presence of the Lord. And that's also going to be the day that we launch our small groups, have our big kickoff day that day. And so excited about this fall semester as we go into it with our new small groups. So during the month of August, I want you to get this. And that is that we have these handouts and encourage you to use these. These are in your worship guide, some fill-in-the-blank kind of stuff. We also have these notebooks, and this would be a great day if you haven't got one of these to get one of these on the beginning of this series, and you can collect all of the series. Just come every week, and this will give you a place where you can keep up with those. Those are free back there at the connection table. You can pick those up after service. But I want you to understand this, though, and that is that during this month of August, this is not about just focusing on a handout or focusing on a teaching, okay? There's more to it than that. Rather, we want to create an environment where you have the opportunity to meet God and encounter God's presence. Because really, that's what it's all about. It's not about us just coming and getting information. Information never helped anybody. unless it's applied to the heart. It's one thing to go to the head, but you got to get it in your heart. And for that to happen, you need to have an encounter with God's presence. And so that's the theme of this thing. And in fact, look in Exodus chapter 33 in verse 11, which is based on what this message title or this series title is about. It's found in this scripture where it speaks of Moses having this time with God. He goes to the mountain. You know the story, probably most of you. He goes to the mountain and he spends time, spends days, spends weeks just there in God's presence. And Moses had such an intimate relationship with him. Look at how it's described in verse 11. It says that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face. Face to face. And that's where we get the title of our message. Come on, everybody say that. Face to face. Face to face. He spoke with him face to face as a man speaks with a friend. So God wants to have a close relationship with him, that face to face relationship. And that means that God is not just a distant God. And for many people, we know God as this distant God. He's a flannel graph God. For some of you that grew up in Sunday school and you heard the Sunday school lessons, and he was that God that was on the flannel graph. And we know him that way. We know him of the Bible, that he was the God of Moses. He was the God of Abraham. He was the God of Isaac. He was the God of Jacob. But knowing God as the God of now, that's a whole different story. Many of us know him as the God back then, a God of yesterday, but we need to know him as the God of now, the face-to-face God. And Moses had this face-to-face relationship with God. The Bible describes it as a man that speaks with a friend. And my desire is that you would know God in that kind of an intimate way. And for many, it's just not that way. You know, we love God, we know about him, we believe in him, but he's distant. He's out there, we're here dealing with this by ourselves. But I want you to understand that God wants to have a face-to-face kind of relationship with you. And you may say, well, that's Moses, and trust me, I'm no Moses. I'm not Moses. Well, let me give you a scripture out of the New Testament. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. I'm reading from the Message translation of this. It says, whenever, though, they, and that speaks of the church. Let me just break this down for you. Whenever, though, they, speaking of the church, turn to face God as Moses did. So what that means is if you set yourself aside to draw near to God, you set yourself aside, you're going to get up early in the morning, you're going to come, you're going to see God, you're going to pray, you're going to set aside a time to turn to God. And James chapter 4 actually says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you, right? Come close to him and he's going to come close to you. It says this is what happens. God removes the veil. And the veil speaks of that. It's a barrier. It's whatever it is that comes between you and God. And there's a long list there of things that we could probably go through that are a barrier that keep us from that close relationship with God. It says that God will remove that veil, and there we are, face to face. They suddenly, and here's what happens, they suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. He's not just a picture. He's not just a story. He's not just a handout. He's not just a statue, but rather, he is a living God. He is not just, I guess, God, you're out there somewhere. You were there. I guess you're still there. I kind of know there's a God out there. No, he becomes a living God. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, look, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. Now, what he's saying there is that word legislation, it's talking about the rules and the regulation, those things that you know you're supposed to do it, but you really don't want to do it, but you're going to do it anyway because it's the rules. It's that part that's the religion part of this thing. It's that Bible reading that I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to check it off, it's my discipline, I'm going to pray, but it's kind of religious, it's what I do. And it says that God washes all that away when we get close to Him. It says that we are free of it, all of us. And so now there's nothing between us and God, and our faces shining with the brightness of His face, and that's where change starts taking place in your life. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually become brighter. So it's incrementally, it starts to happen gradually, brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. And so it changes from a religion to a relationship with God. We have a personal relationship with Him where we walk with Him and talk with Him. I just love the way the Bible describes Enoch. It says that he walked with God. And that's what God wants. Just as He walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden before the fall of man, God is longing to have that kind of personal, close, intimate relationship with Him. And so that's the goal of this series. And this particular message I've entitled Close Encounters. And if you're like me and you got a few years on you, you'll remember there was a movie called Close Encounters, crazy movie about UFOs. And there's a lot of people that believe in UFOs, unidentified flying objects. It's those spaceship, those men from Mars that come and visit the planet. And there's actually, you know, a lot of people that believe that. I'm not one of those. I'm just letting you know. But there's some people that, and there's actually what they call is there's a ufology. It's actually UFOlogy. Where those are those people that believe in extraterrestrial Martians. And there are people, get this though, there are people that are convinced, they are convinced that there are UFOs. And they're convinced, and those that are convinced are those who have had some type of an encounter, they say. They call it an encounter or a close encounter. In fact, if you look at what the word, what that means, close encounter, it describes someone who has actually had a close encounter themselves. I'm not here to tell you about UFOs, but I'm out here to make a point. And that is this. The problem with this is that a lot of people have only heard about the encounters of other people. But it doesn't work that way. You've got to have your own encounter. And once you have your own personal encounter, it doesn't matter what anyone says. I'm telling you, I saw that Martian. I'm telling you, it came down that blue-green light. So I'm telling you, you can't convince them otherwise. All I'm talking about, though, is when we have an encounter with God, there's no one that convinces you otherwise, right? Similar to that is when you have an experience and you're trying to tell somebody about it. Had a great vacation this past week. I was actually talking to a couple of people yesterday. I was trying to tell them that last evening we went to an international convention of our church in Orlando, and it was awesome, man. And I was trying to describe something that dropped in my spirit in the midst of that service, something I may actually be sharing with you in a few weeks, some things that God just dropped in me. And I began to weep in the midst. I mean, the guy was in the middle of giving his message, and something dropped in me, and I just began. My wife was standing behind me, beside me. I know she noticed. I just bent over, and I just started weeping because God, His word. I encountered something in the middle of that, and y'all are just looking at me. See, you just had to been there. You just had to been there. There's times when we want to try to share something. In fact, this past week I spent a week in Florida and spent some time at the beach and the ocean. Y'all, it was beautiful. It was like bathwater out here. It was great. And week before that, we went to Alabama. Took about 11 people with us, actually, to Alabama to a church conference where we learned some things, some of our leaders. And some of you, you know, didn't get to go last year, and you're looking at me like, I don't get it. Well, we went this year, and you said, I get it. This is awesome, you know, because you went and experienced it. And so, see, the best thing for me to do is just, you know, come and go with me, right? Come and go with me and encounter this with me. So next vacation, we'll just all go to Florida. What do you say? No, that's right. Okay. There we go. What I want us to see here, though, it's not just a handout today. It's not just a teaching. And I can't force you to have this encounter. But what I believe God allows us to do is create an environment so that incrementally we give God the opportunity to come into our lives. That's what coming in the mornings, or, you know, if you're not able to come in the mornings, live stream it. We'll give you the information how you can live stream it if you're there fixing eggs and grits and whatever you fix in the morning and getting things ready. But you need to set aside a time. And when you do that, it gives an opportunity, an environment where you're allowing God to come in. That's why we do praise and worship. That's why we sing songs. Because the Bible says we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. We're creating an environment where we can encounter the presence of God. You know, God's always there, but we got to get there. You know what I'm saying? And so it lifts us. It lifts our faith to, from where we are to where He is. And so we want to go there together and pursue God. The Bible describes it as panting after God like a deer pants after water. And when we do that, when we go after God, the Bible teaches us that God likes that. God likes that. Because He said, if you'll draw near to Me, I'm going to draw near to you. And so some points I want to give you today, and that's this. Number one, just some help I want to give us here today. And that is, number one, we need power, not just words. That's your first blank there, power. We need power, not just words. Why? Because many of us are facing things that words cannot fix alone. I heard about people that would go to the mission field, you know, other countries and third world countries and places that were very remote where it's grass huts and, you know, just no floor, dirt floors. And, you know, you come driving up in a truck and they think you are a UFO because they've never seen a truck before, you know. And I've heard of missionaries that go in there and a lot of times what they do is they just go in and they just pray for people. They say, you got any needs? Who are sick? Bring them. We're going to pray for them. And they pray for them, and God heals them and does the miraculous. I heard of one girl that was in one of those villages, and she didn't even have a bone in her leg. She was born, and she had no bone in her leg, and she had flesh, but she had no bone there. And so her flesh was just still hanging there because here we would have, you know, taken that off, but there they didn't do that. And so there was her leg, but they prayed for her, and God gave her a bone in her leg. And now here she is running around the village, and a girl who had no bone can now run and play. And so God opened blinded eyes and healed the sick. And the missionaries say, you know, when that happens, you really don't have to preach much. You know? You don't have to do a lot of preaching. They're asking you. You just share with them Jesus. You just give them Jesus. And they're ready to receive. Why? Because they've encountered something. They've encountered a power. And so you just give them Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. And Paul was a guy who could have went there. He was a smart, intelligent guy that knew the law, that knew things. Okay, he was very qualified. But yet, he chose not to go there and come with persuasive words, but rather, look at this, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on handouts or lights or cute messages, but your message would rest on, look at this, would rest not on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And so what I'm saying to you this morning is, I'm just trying to throw out some hooks, guys. I'm just trying to help you and just say, come on, go with me, and let's go after God. Look at the second thing, and that is that we need an encounter, not just an explanation. We need an encounter. We actually have a little saying around here, which is encounter the cross. We're cross point, okay? So we got this cute little phrase, encounter the cross, experience the change, and engage the culture. And so one of the main things we want to happen here is that people encounter the cross, and that means encounter the love of Jesus, encounter what God did for them when He gave His Son Jesus to die on the cross, to pay the sin debt that we don't have to now pay. We don't have to go to hell to pay that. Jesus paid that for us. He took death for Himself, for us, so that we could be set free and enjoy life and life to the fullest. Understand that He came that we might encounter that cross, that we might encounter His love. And so what we need really is an encounter. And people, when they come to Christ, they come to Christ because they encounter His love and they encounter His presence. You come to Christ always, not with an argument, but with a need. And at that point of a need, you experience Him there. You experience Him there. When we experience Him, things are going to change and things are going to happen. And let me just say, we are in a generation that needs an encounter. And when I say that, you might be thinking, well, you're talking about that younger generation that needs that encounter. I'm not just talking about the younger generation. I'm talking about my generation and the generation above me. And that is, when we have a true encounter with God, the next generation will encounter His presence. A lot of times we say, well, they just need to counter. If they knew what I knew and if they experienced what I experienced. And a lot of times when we talk about that, we talk about something years ago. And I'll be sharing more with you about this, but that was what really dropped in my spirit. Actually, Friday evening, sitting in that service. And I'll just give you a little teaser. And it was, there was a story shared about the woman, if you remember the story, the woman that pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of His garment. Of Jesus' garment as He was actually on the way to Jairus' house to heal Jairus' daughter. He didn't just send a word, but He was going there. Interestingly, those two stories work together and not out of coincidence. There was a woman that came up who had been sick for 12 years, and He was going to a daughter who was 12 years old. When that daughter was born, this lady had a sickness. And interesting, when Jesus healed her, He turned and said, daughter, your faith has made you. Those two stories are linked together. And here's what I got out of this. And I don't want to go too far into this, but I just want to drop this in you today. And that is that Jesus wasn't going after the woman, but He was going after the girl. But when that woman reached out through the crowd and everything that obstructed and touched Him, she went and touched Him. Her generation, she touched Him. He then touched the next generation. And what I'm saying is, if our generation will touch Him, we don't have to worry about your children and your children's children. When we know God, He said, I'll visit your children and your children's children to the third and the fourth generation. That's good preaching, y'all. Come on, somebody. I mean, that's good stuff. If we'll touch Him, then God will use us to touch the next generation, all right? So we need an encounter with God. Never met a person who has had an encounter at the mercy of someone with a fine-sounding argument. So don't argue with people. Explanations never changed a person's life. Encounters have. Share your story and the encounter you have and allow them an entry point where they can encounter the presence of God. Amen? So we need to have an encounter with God. I mean, look at the story where Jesus healed the blind man in John chapter 9. It says that they were trying to figure out what had happened. I mean, did he spit on your eyes? Did he touch you? Did he say something? What did he do? How did this happen? And finally, they turned to the blind man and they said, what have you to say about him? To the man that was healed of blindness. What do you have to say about this Jesus? And he replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, and now I see. Amen? My prayer is that somebody might ask you, what's up with that church? What's up with your church? I mean, what do y'all do over there? What's that about? And I don't understand. You know, all you need to do is just answer them. I don't know. All I know is my life was a mess, and now it's not. All you need to be able to say is, I used to hate going to church, and now I love it, right? We need an encounter with God. Number three, we need presence, not just practice. We need presence, not just practice. We need practice, but we need presence more than practice. I mean, we need practice. And then I've said, well, We just need to be free. We don't need form. We don't need formality. We don't need liturgy. Guess what? We all have a formality, and we all have a liturgy, okay? We all have a form. I don't care what it looks like. You do something long enough, it's a form. I don't care how free you think you whatever your service and worship experience looks like, you got a form. We have our own liturgy. You know, some of you been around here now for the last year that understand that, and sometime in the service, I'm going to say, hassle-free guarantee. You can nudge your neighbor, watch it. Watch what he's going to say next. He's going to say, hassle-free guarantee. You know, and I'm going to say certain things because, you know, I think it's good that we, you know, we give people a safe place where they understand what's going to happen, where we know the order. I mean, I heard of somebody that actually uses these fill in the blanks also, and they said if somebody came up to the pastor after church and said, I got 9 of your 10 blanks before you ever got to them. I already knew what they were, you know. So you got this all figured out, you know, and we know how this thing is going to work. But we need to be careful because your life can become this practice and you miss his presence where we're going through the motions. And listen, that can happen in any type of church or in any person's life, where you're going through the motion. And what happens when that happens is that something starts dying on the inside. You know, when you're reading your Bible and you say, well, I got nothing out of that, but you check it off the list. And you go on so long like that, something begins to die inside you. I mean, we need practice. We need discipline. It is good to be in the habit of reading the Bible and praying every day. And we stress that in our Essentials 201 that we have every month here. And that's important. But we need some things predictable where people can feel safe in. But we also need presence. We need his presence. It stands to reason. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It stands to reason, doesn't it? That if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, and that is the hope today, that he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, when he's just breathes in you, fresh air, right? When he breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. The same thing he did in you. The Bible says that the same spirit that lives, that raised Jesus from the dead, quickens. He makes alive your mortal body. He lifts you up. What does that mean? That means that the same spirit that raised him from the dead now lives in you and makes you alive and able to live, right? Not die, but live for him in the fullness of life. The same thing can happen in your marriage. Same thing can happen in your home. Same thing can happen in your relationships. Same thing can happen in your life, and you can experience the resurrection of God. That happens when we pursue God. Well, that's all good, but how does that happen? How do we do that? A lot of times we tell people what to do, but not how. Let me just explain it through a story that I'm calling Jacob's Encounter. And the reason for this mentioned here is that in Scripture, the first place that you see the phrase face-to-face is actually found in this story that I'm about to share with you. And when you study Scripture, you understand that there is the law of first mention. And when you go to the law of first mention, that is the first time something's mentioned in Scripture. It's in its purest form, and there's power in that first mention. It's of great importance. And so I want to set up this story. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. There's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was a second-born twin of Rebekah and Isaac. They were twins. They were two boys, but they were not identical. They were different. They looked different. Esau was tough, manly, hairy. He was a hunter. He was masculine. He was a man. He was a masculine, tough guy. Let's just put it this way. Jacob wasn't. Okay? Jacob wasn't. Jacob was a mama's boy. All right? And he was mama's favorite. Talking about people who don't have favorites, she had a favorite. It was Jacob. And because he was a mama's boy, he wasn't really a daddy's boy. He wasn't daddy's firstborn. There was a little bit of tension there. And so Jacob begins to develop this lifestyle of being a deceiver or manipulator to get things. He started out manipulating and deceiving people. He stole his brother's birthright. When his brother came in working out in the field, he began to maneuver a way to outsmart him and get his birthright. He deceived his own father at the point of his death when he was about to die and went in and disguised himself with his mother's help, I might add, putting some hair on his arms and making him smell like him and feel like him when his dad was half blind and didn't know what he was doing, and he received his blessing of his brother. It caused a wedge to be driven between them. Time goes on, and they're married, and he goes on and he flees for his life because he afraid his brother's going to kill him for stealing his birthright, and he goes and he goes and falls in love with this woman. I mean, it's a wonderful story. I'm telling you, why do drugs when you can do the Bible? I'm just saying, it's awesome. Just read it. It's just great. He's going to marry this woman. He has to work 7 years for this daughter of this man. And when he marries her, I don't know how it all works. I guess he got a really thick veil because the next morning after the marriage, he wakes up and he realizes he's not with Rachel that he loves. He's with ugly, not need, whatever you call it, bow-legged Leah. The father had switched daughters on him, tricked him. And in order for him to get Rachel, he had to work another 7 years. I mean, so it's a whole story. And then, so after all this time, though, Jacob hears that Esau, his brother, is coming for him. He's been on the run. And a lot of times that's what we do. When we go through things, we run from God. We run the opposite direction. We run away from him. We run to him. We do the opposite of what we should do. We run. It dates all the way back to Adam. He didn't run to God. He ran and hid from God. And God said, what are you doing here? We run from God, and he was on the run. He hears that Esau is coming, and so to appease him, he sends over like waves of like camels and livestock and blessings and all kinds of stuff, you know, wave after wave. He sends so many people over ahead of him. He sends his wife and children ahead of him. You're talking about getting in front of the wives. No, he got behind them, okay? So at this point in the story, Jacob is all by himself. He's all alone. And sometimes that's the point that we have to get to for God really to speak to us. And it says that when he was there all alone, pick it up in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. So Jacob was left alone, and a man, and many theologians describe this as an angel or the angel. I know this is deep, but there's many thoughts that believe it was actually Jesus himself that manifested himself. But it says that he was there with a man and he wrestled with him till daybreak. Let me stop right there. A lot of us oftentimes will find that there is a wrestling. We start off with this process of pursuing God, of seeking God, of setting aside a time to seek after him. There is a wrestling that happens within us because we've been doing it our own way for a long time. And stepping out into something new actually is scary for many of us, and we wrestle with that. I mean, sometimes we even wrestle with it in church service. You know, I'm just going to be who I am. You know? I mean, some of us need to take a step. That's all I'm asking you. Take a step. That's what I'm asking you to do this week. Take a step. Some of you can take a step during our worship experience when we're singing songs. You know, just get a toe tap going at least. You know, just at least get a toe tap. You know, don't be a bump on the log. Just get a toe tap. And I'm gonna borrow some from Tim Hawkins right here. And then you might, you know, just start carrying the baby. You know, carry the baby. Carry TV. My fish was this long. Until you finally get the touchdown. You know, I'm y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. I mean, it worked for Tim Hawkins. It doesn't work for me. But anyway. I mean, some of us need to step out and experience God's presence. You know, just take a step. Just take it one step at a time and encounter God's presence. And for a lot of us, we're just stubborn. We're just stubborn. God's trying to move us in the right direction, trying to guide our life, trying to bless us, trying to do good things. But we're stubborn. There's a wrestling that goes on. And look what happens here. Let's read the story on. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And he caused him, he gave him a limp. So he's dragging his leg along. He's got a limp now, walking with a limp. Now, why would God do that? Let me give you something. Sometimes the only way God can have the right to move in your life is when you get to the place of weakness where you can't do it without him. Some of us have experienced that where we're flat on our back. I don't want to have to get to I'm flat on the back. Flat on my back before I'm dependent upon him. Let me give you some free counsel, some free pastoral advice here. If you don't initiate it yourself, just become weak yourself and say to God, I don't want my strength, I want yours. He won't create it, but he will allow things to happen to bring you to the point of weakness where you turn to him and where he can help you. Isn't that good? That's a good amen right there. Y'all, I'll just amen myself, okay? All right. See, some of us are going through things where it's a mess. My life's a mess right now. And you're limping along saying, I don't understand. My life's a mess. I'm in this situation. I don't understand it. And it's because God is so desperate to get close to you. He's allowing you to be in that place so that you'll turn to him and you'll discover what really life is all about. Let's read on. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. In other words, I'm tired of wrestling with you. You're not responding. You're being stubborn. I'm tired. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go until you bless me. He realized his need of him and said, but I need you to bless me. I'm desperate. I need you. And that bless me is not about financial blessings, but rather, when you look at that word, it actually means internal joy. Internal joy. It's an internal soul joy. And look what happens. Genesis chapter 32 again, verse 24 through 30. Look at this, how it concludes. Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place of Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God, and here's the first place we see this mentioned, face to face, and yet my life was spared. My life was spared. Three things I want us to see in that story that will show you and I what we can do in our first steps. Number one, a new strength, a new strength. What we need is a new strength. And our prayer needs to be, God, I give up. I give up. I'm not going to rely on my strength anymore. I can't do this. I cannot make this happen. I cannot do this. I need your strength. Where we don't lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways we acknowledge him, and then that's when the Bible says he'll direct our steps, right? Look at what Isaiah 40 says. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Now notice there, he didn't say he gives strength to those that, I'm going to man up, God. I'll call you when I need you. I'm going to do it my way. If I run into trouble, I'll look you up. No. He doesn't respond to the strong. He responds to the weak. He increases the power of the weak. Those that are weary, and then it says, look, even youths grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will, look what it says, they will soar like wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And I love that analogy of an eagle. Has anybody ever seen an eagle? You know what eagles do? They're just up there, man. Doing their thing. I mean, they're just being eagles. You know, I'll soar this way now. And we're standing there going, wow, look at that. And he just caught the breeze and he's just going. Right? That's what the Bible says happens when we're in his strength. Now, when we're not in his strength, we're like those other birds. I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to get there, you know. Don't videotape this, all right? I'm just saying. Show up in the bloopers at the end of the year. I actually got guys looking at me right now doing like this. They're going to take a picture of that. Anyway. But those eagles, they're just there, man. And they actually catch what's described as a thermal wind. A thermal wind is a lifting wind. God wants to give you a thermal wind where you just soar on not your strength, on not your abilities, on not your talents, but on His gifting and His talents and His abilities. Can I get a good amen right there? Second thing, we need a new identity. And our prayer here needs to be, Lord, change me. Lord, change me. And this is a scripture I'm going to give you that actually we founded this church on. We started this church, a new work, when we planted this church. Isaiah 43. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. And that's for somebody. You need to stop dwelling on the past. Guess what? The past is past. Okay? This is now. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. You got to see it. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Doesn't matter what it looks like, how dry it is, how long it's been. God's never late. He's always on time. It's never too late. God's with us. Amen. And He says, I'm going to do a new thing in your life, but we got to be willing to say, Lord, change me. And help me to be able to perceive that. Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to him who overcomes. I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. First thing that's going to happen when you get to heaven, God's going to give you a new name. Because we've got a new identity. New identity. We need to understand that we're not who we used to be. And His name was changed. His name was changed. Let me just go back to the story for just a moment. Because here's the next thing that happens. The man asked him, what is your name? And he says, Jacob. And he answered, and the Lord said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. And Jacob, then he gets in his own head and he says, please tell me your name. But he said, you don't need to know that. He said, why do you need to know my name? He says, why do you ask my name? What happened? Jacob, he would get in his own head and he wanted to figure things out. And here's the thing. This thing is not about the head. It's about the heart. God doesn't just want to touch the head. He doesn't just want to touch your intelligence. He needs to give you an internal joy down in your heart and in your spirit. And it says, and then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared because he experienced his presence. And God changed him and gave him an entirely different new identity. Look at the next thing, and that is a new joy, a new joy. Our prayer needs to be, fill me with joy. And the only place joy can really be found, you can find happiness in a lot of places, but you can't find joy but only one place, and that's in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, in His presence is fullness of joy. Look at Psalm 16:11. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy, where? In your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Today, it may be that you're in this house and you're really far from God. Oh, yeah, you may know Him. You may know about Him. You may have even had a very close relationship with Him at one point. But today, you're not where you need to be with Him, and you know it. I believe the Lord has had us gather here not out of form or formality, but because He is trying to speak into our lives His living word. And He wants to have a personal, close relationship with us. He wants to have a face-to-face, personal relationship with us. And if you're far from God here, it's very simple what to do. Surrender. 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 And pray, Lord, I give up. Lord, change me. Lord, fill me. With your presence, with your joy. Very quickly, I'm not going to take a lot of time here. I'm just going to ask the question. If that's you, you know that you're not where you need to be with God. I want to pray a prayer with you today. It'll be your prayer, but I just want to help lead you in it. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front or embarrass you. Just right there in privacy, you and the Lord. I want to pray this prayer with you. But if you know that's you, and you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? Would you just slip up a hand? You can just slip it up and put it right back down. I just want to know who I'm agreeing with today. Would you do that right now? Just slip up a hand very quickly. Just slip up a hand. Say, that's me. When you pray, count me in that prayer. Maybe it's your first time coming to God, but maybe you've actually have been in relationship with God, but you know you need to renew. If that's you, just slip up a hand. I'm just going to pray. All right, right where you're seated, if that's you now, would you just, there under your breath, or there in your heart, would you just pray this to the Lord? Lord Jesus, today I give you my life. Today I make a full surrender, my past, my present, and my future. I need you, and I'm empty and lost without you. Would you please today come in, fill my heart. I invite you in. I welcome you into my life. Be the Lord of my life. I believe that you died on the cross, Jesus, for me, making a way for me to have relationship with you. By faith, I receive that gift of life that you offer. And today, I accept you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. With your help, I will follow you. With your help, I will pursue you. With your help, I'll encounter the life that you intended me to encounter. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for each person that needed and prayed that prayer today. And God, I pray a blessing upon them. And I pray, God, that in the days that follow, step by step and day by day, God, that you would begin to move in their life in such a way that you never have before. And they would encounter a peace and a joy that they never have experienced before. And that you would do a new thing in their life. And you'd lead them to a place of fulfillment where they understand, God, what life was really intended for and who they are in you. Let them know they're a new creation in you. The old has passed away. All things have become new. Thank you for the newness of life. We celebrate that today in their life in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. God, I pray for this church. I pray that as we embark on this journey of renewal this month, I pray today, God, that you would just, that you would cause us to encounter, Lord, not just great ideas and great thoughts. God, I pray that you would help us not to just be motivated from the outward in, but I pray from the inside out, God, that you would come in and that you would do a new thing in our life and that we begin to shine forth and glorify you and we would see what you and you only can do in us and through us for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God praise for his word today. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus.